And now joining us on the phone from Westchester, New York, as I mentioned earlier, he's been on the program three times before to talk about all different topics related to yoga and meditation. And I may have mentioned on a previous show, I also got a chance to take a yoga class with him. He's the real deal. So I felt extremely relaxed afterwards, and that stayed with me for several days. And so now Steve Kane is joining us once again from Westchester, New York, to talk about the benefits of yoga for mind, body, and spirit. Welcome
back, Steve.
Hi, Mara.
That was a great intro. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thanks for being back on the program. It's always interesting to talk to you because you go a little bit deeper into the discussion of yoga and meditation, and as your classes tend to go deeper as well. So
I appreciate that. Yeah, I kind of think that that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So maybe before we jump into talking about yoga, for people who haven't heard you on previous programs, maybe you can give a little bit of your background.
Sure. So I'm a 200-hour certified yoga instructor, and I've been teaching for 5 years and practicing for about 15. I teach at a yoga studio in Tarrytown, New York, called Yoga Shivaya. And in addition to teaching yoga, I also have a workshop on using yoga to cultivate happiness. So the idea is how to bring the practice of yoga, you know, the kind of sense of inner peace that you were just talking about, off your mat and out into your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've already spoken before. You were on the program to talk about cultivating happiness through yoga. What are some of the other benefits of yoga?
Well, so, you know, a lot of people associate the practice of yoga with the physical practice. I mean, you'll see, you know, some glossy magazine with somebody doing an advanced pose, and, you know, it's natural to assume that that's really what this is all about, that you're, you know, kind of challenging yourself to do ever more difficult poses, and that's what the journey of yoga is. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, and, you know, it can be incredibly rewarding to, you know, practice and work towards, you know, accomplishing one of these poses. But there's another practice that's kind of less talked about, which is this journey inwards, which is what I was hoping to talk about tonight. So while you're learning to kind of strengthen and stretch your body and challenge yourself, it's also, you can use yoga to work on your own consciousness. So the way, you know, yoga talks about this, I mean, this is going back to the ancient texts, is that there are nested sheaths called koshas that are kind of like skins of an onion. And the outside sheath is your physical body, and you know, then it goes to your, you know, kind of the awareness of your breath, and then deeper and deeper, and each sheath becomes more subtle as you move inwards, and at the innermost core is this sense of inner peace or bliss. So, you know, that's kind of this path inwards, rather than focusing on the physical practice, there's this other, you know, kind of more meditative inward practice leading, you know, hopefully to this sense of cultivating inner peace.
Right, right. So starting with the physical, though, because it is really beneficial as well for physical, right? We don't have to look beautiful like the people on the cover of the magazine. But what are some of the physical, you know, tell me more about the physical practice.
Sure. So, you know, I mean, obviously people are aware that you can, you know, get stretchier doing yoga, you can get stronger doing yoga. But there's also, you know, kind of another angle into this C student thing that we spoke about in a previous program, which is that it's actually more beneficial for your body as well as your mind to not push too hard in yoga. It's one of the few things in life where less effort has a bigger dividend. And just kind of back up that claim, there's a neuromuscular therapist and yoga teacher, Lee Albert, who writes that muscles work best in their mid-range, not in their end range. So it's better to stretch muscles in that mid-range, meaning basically that if, you know, you're stretching the calf muscle, you want to kind of stretch the belly of the calf muscle rather than stretch the ligaments and the tendons in either the knee or the ankle, because those will get overstretched and they won't snap back like muscles do.
Okay, that's interesting because, you know, I think a lot of people like myself, when we go to a yoga class, we try to push the pose to our limit, and we feel
right.
Really proud when we can do the most advanced, you know, form of that pose.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly right. So, you know, in my own experience, I mean, I have flat feet, which means tight hamstrings, but I also kind of have like naturally open hips. And there was a certain point where, you know, I was going to this class and we were doing ever deeper variations of pigeon. And I realized at a certain point that having my entire body weight kind of hanging on my hip flexor wasn't doing me any good. You know, like it wasn't helping me. So I think as you kind of go deeper into your physical practice, you can become aware that, you know, one of the things you're looking for is some kind of strength, stretch, equilibrium. You know, that instead of just following the class along and then, you know, maybe overstretching a really stretchy area of your body and not strengthening an area of your body that needs strengthening, you can start to do your own thing a little bit and kind of listen to the wisdom of your body. First of all, do that see student thing, which is, you know, it's not really that useful to, you know, kind of hang on your ligaments and tendons anyway, you know, to collapse fully into some of these really deep poses. But also, you know, just you start to learn more about your own body and you realize, okay, you know what, if somebody's offering some really deep hip openers for me, I'm just going to skip those and I'm going to start doing some hamstring stretches instead.
Okay, so you kind of get to know what you need.
Yeah, it starts to become a little bit more of your own practice. I mean, a lot of teachers, you'll hear both things. On the one hand, you'll hear kind of what you said, which is, you know, ratcheting up either the difficulty of the pose or the intensity of the stretch by saying, you know, you can try this variation, you can try this variation, you can try this variation, rather than offering the opposite, which is how you dial it back. You know, so there's this tendency to kind of go for too much. But then other teachers, you'll hear, you know, I'm just your guide, and, you know, you need to listen to your own body, and that's paramount. You know, and I really do believe that. I think that, you know, you've got to listen to what's going on in your own body, and it's a practice of becoming more familiar of what's really needed, and yoga can help you get there.
Yeah, not to you know, stay on the topic for too long, but it's interesting because I just took a yoga class the other night, and the teacher said, when you do this stretch, if you feel like you can go further, don't go further, do less.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, well, that was interesting. I actually never heard a teacher say that.
Yeah, well, okay. You know? So that's the wisdom of being a C student thing. You know, that there's actually this neuromuscular benefit that we just spoke about, which is, you know, trying to work the belly of the muscle rather than the end range where the ligaments and tendons are. But then there's also the psychological thing of, you know, the journey inward is about, you know, kind of letting go of the outside world and, you know, shifting your consciousness to what does it feel like, you know, informing your practice from the inside rather than from the outside. But of course, when you first start, you know, there's basic body awareness is kind of the initial goal. I remember when I first started yoga, a teacher was asking me to identify some sensation between my shoulder blades, and I kind of couldn't. You know, it was just kind of a black hole sensation-wise. You know, I hadn't thought about that part of my body in such a long period of time that, you know, there just wasn't any data coming out of it. You start to build on that awareness, and like I said earlier, you start to become more aware of more subtle sensations, you know, the sensations of your breath, or you maybe can feel the energy of your breath moving out to your extremities. But the thing that really started to draw me back was just the sense of inner peace that just started to happen naturally, because, you know, you stretch out, your body feels more relaxed, you know, you've quieted your mind because it's kind of a moving meditation. And that sensation of feeling truly relaxed again was the kind of the nectar that kept bringing me back to my practice.
So just having that awareness of your body helps you to relax.
Yes. Yeah, it's a kind of a shift of consciousness from the outer world to the inner world, which helps you kind of live more fully in each moment.
And how about breath? I know that, you know, there's a lot of use of breath in yoga, and how does that help us?
Yeah, that's another anchor for the mind. I mean, you know, it's basically a form of meditation, which is instead of, you know, thinking about the past and the future, what you have to do next, or, you know, whatever just happened, which is kind of what the mind is going to want to do, by becoming more aware of your body and your breath, you can anchor yourself into, you know, this current moment, which is really where peace happens. You know, so when you're talking about stress reduction, you know, that's a really effective way of reducing stress. It's just try to, you know, focus on your breath, focus on sensations of your body, and just naturally quiet your mind, because, you know, it's bringing you back into this moment instead of in that kind of perpetual chatter of the mind, you know, the chattering monkey mind.
And I have to share, I know that I told you about this ahead of time, that happened to me yesterday, where my mind was all over the place and I just couldn't focus on one thing. And I decided to do some yoga and started to use that, you know, focusing on my body, focusing on my breath, and everything started slowing down. I didn't stop thinking, but it slowed down. And then suddenly I started getting these insights, like that would just pop up about these things that I had been concerned about, these kind
right.
of like, aha, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting practice in of itself. But, yeah, the first lesson of meditation is that you can't quiet your mind, but you can start to distance yourself from it. So by shifting your consciousness to what your body feels like, or your awareness to what your body feels like and what your breath feels like, you've already automatically distanced yourself from the chatter of the mind. So that's the slowing down part of it. You know, the other part of it is, your mind is it's kind of a specific kind of tool, you know, so that if you're trying to solve a problem and you're really working hard to solve it consciously, you know, it can kind of wear out the utility of that tool, and sometimes just letting go and surrendering into another state of consciousness, the solutions can kind of, you know, manifest themselves. If that makes any sense. You know, there's one of the practices in terms of, like, you know, if you have a really tough problem that you're trying to crack, is to just, you know, quiet your mind, you know, if you know how to sit and meditate, and then just kind of ask the question, but don't try to answer it consciously. And then just see what answer comes. That's kind of a nice practice of, you know, offering up the, you know, the question to the universe or whatever you want to call it, and just see what comes of that. And that can be an effective way of,
right,
you know, rather than trying to climb the mountain, like, you know, parachute down from the top. I'm going to pronounce this name wrong, but Anjan Sumedho says that yesterday is a memory, tomorrow is the unknown, and now is the knowing. So, you know, this practice of just being present, you know, of kind of letting go of whatever a mess yesterday was and whatever a mess tomorrow you're anticipating might be, you can still fully enjoy this moment as is, you know. So, you know, this is one of the ways I think that you can start to use these practices to cultivate happiness, because, you know, we all have challenges in our lives. But by practicing being more present in each moment, that the challenges usually aren't relentless ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can still sit and really enjoy a cup of coffee or a chat with a friend or whatever it is that you're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, just take a full few moments to really fully experience whatever is going on now and then face the challenge later, you know. Yeah, I think you know, in terms of, you know, elevating your sense of well-being, you can, you know, find these real pockets of peace in an otherwise challenging life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, all of us have challenging lives these days, right? If we we can get really stuck and looking at challenges all the time, and we're not going to feel very good doing that.
Right, and we're kind of overstimulated too. So this is the cure
mm-hmm.
of just, you know, kind of walking away from the stimulation a little bit and just trying to learn to be a little bit more present, you know, because the pace that stuff is moving at all of us right now is pretty quick, and you can become very easily kind of frustrated and entangled with everything that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. So I know there's a lot of research, you know, constantly new research about the mental and emotional benefits of yoga and meditation and just being present. So do you know of any of the new research in that area?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of that coming out every day. You know, everything from reducing the effects of ADHD or back pain or depression or anxiety. You know, it's clear that, you know, both from the physical end of the spectrum as well as the psychological end of the spectrum, there's some real benefits. You know, it's not cure-all, but there seem to be real benefits across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the benefit of actually moving your body. So you get the physical benefits of strengthening and stretching the body, and also physically releasing tension, which, you know, has, you know, there's this mind-body connection that happens. So that actually one of the kind of pieces of the research that I read recently that I thought was interesting is that if you're more physically balanced, like you've been practicing your tri in yoga, you actually feel more balanced in your interpersonal relationships, right, which is interesting
mm-hmm.
because they're completely
mm-hmm.
different things, right? So... but there's, you know, because of this mind-body connection, if you feel more stable physically, then you feel more stable in your relationships as well. And then there are also just mental and emotional benefits of learning to be more present in this moment. You know, kind of one of the, you know, practices that you can kind of take off your mat is just, you know, to try to get yourself into a meditative mindset, just doing something that you would normally be doing anyway. So I used to,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of rush to get the dishes done because I wanted to get the dishes done so I could relax. And, you know, I've learned, you know, not always, but sometimes, that, you know, just doing the dishes can be a meditation. You know, and then instead of kind of rushing through that and having it seem like a chore and frustrating, something I want to get out of the way so that I can lie on the couch with a book, you know, the process of just washing the dishes can feel really relaxing and kind of satisfying in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like moving meditation.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what you start to do is you you know, it starts to become the new normal. You know, there's this that sense of kind of inner peace that you have at the end of your yoga practice, and then you start to identify that more fully. And then when you're waiting in line for the DMV, you can kind of like tap into that and not feel frustrated. You know,
right.
Just like, well, this is what I'm doing now. You know,
uh-huh.
to make that for figure out how to make that a meditation. You know?
Uh huh. So are there other benefits to the practice of listening to ourselves and quieting ourselves down, listening within?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the other practices called non-judgmental awareness, which is just a practice of noticing and trying not to react to what's going on, whatever it might be. And so a lot of times, you know, like if, you know, let's use the DMV example, you know, if you're feeling like, okay, this line's not going anywhere and, you know, I had a dinner date and that doesn't look like it's going to happen, you can start to build up a head of frustration, you know, kind of disassociating from the emotions and just looking at them from a little bit of a distance can actually you know, be a way of kind of keeping it from cycling out of control. So, you know, you might start to notice where you feel stress in your body, that, you know, after a tough day, you're carrying a lot of tension in your shoulders, or, you know, you're around somebody who you feel is toxic and you can really feel it in your gut. You know, again, we're not talking about doing anything. There's no action is needed, but just the practice of noticing can be really profound because you start to become more aware just of, you know, how the world is being reflected in you and, you know, how do you feel about those things? And like I said, you also get a little bit of distance from them so that you don't get into, you know, you're not – kind of washed away your awareness by whatever emotions that you're feeling. You see the emotions for what they are and what's causing them. You know, then that just, so everything, it kind of takes the edge off, if that makes any sense. You know, so you're not, you know, you're not just kind of having a knee-jerk reaction to whatever is going on around you.
Right, right. And I think that's, you know, what people, we all learn to just react to everything rather than respond, right?
Right.
So,
right, and a lot of things don't demand it the way that you think that they do. You know, that, you know, if somebody says something confrontational and just taking a deep breath before you react kind of changes the nature of the interaction rather than, you know, meeting their confrontation with resistance or more confrontation. And I think the other kind of interesting offshoot of this thing is that, you know, you learn to become more self-accepting because, you know, by, you know, kind of having a little bit of space between yourself and your thoughts and your emotions, you know, you're seeing yourself in a different way with more compassion. And when negative thoughts come up, you can start to practice, you know, showing yourself some kindness, you know, treating yourself the way you would a friend. And, you know, so, they say that no amount of self-improvement can make up for a lack of self-acceptance, you know, so that, you know, this is really a practice of self-acceptance, of, you know, of looking inwards and just saying, you know, okay, how am I feeling about these things? You know, how, you know, oh yeah, I'm feeling stressed out. I need to give myself a break rather than, you know, just kind of pushing yourself forward blindly.
Right. Right. And I like that idea of treating yourself like you would your best friend.
Yeah.
You know, we're much harder on ourselves than we would be on our friends.
Yeah, absolutely. They say that if, you talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself, they wouldn't be your friends.
Exactly. So So I know we're running out of time. There's always a lot to talk about, and I'd love to have you back on to talk about more, because there is more to talk about. But any final thoughts?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of two big benefits from this thing. So one is, by learning to be more present in each moment, you just enjoy life more. You know, so if you're playing with your kids, you're going to enjoy that more. If you're not thinking about work, you can really kind of anchor your consciousness to what it is that you're doing. Or if you're eating a piece of chocolate cake, you're going to enjoy it more by being fully present in each moment. Eat the chocolate cake like it's a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is, you know, we kind of touched on, is this stress reduction part. And there is research showing that it's called resilience, your ability to recover from stress. There's research that's shown that elite athletes are able to recover from stress more quickly when they're able to anchor their mind to their body and their breath. So, you know, just by taking a moment, if you have you're having a stressful day, take a moment and just, you know, take a few long, deep breaths, and you'll find that it kind of just ratchets down the stress level. So on the one hand, you enjoy
mm-hmm.
life more. On the other hand, you're not knocked about around by life quite as much.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important. So,
yeah. So
Steve, if people are in the Westchester or New York area, how can they find out about your yoga classes and your workshops?
Sure. You can reach me directly at kanesteve@me.com. So it's kanesteve@me.com. And I teach at Yoga Shavaya in Tarrytown, New York, which is yogashavaya.com, SHIVAYA. And like I said, I occasionally teach workshops on, you know, kind of the stuff that we've been talking about, on how to cultivate happiness using yoga. And,
are you available for workshops if there's a group that wants to have you come speak to them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even need to be a full workshop. It could be, you know, whatever. I'm very passionate about this, obviously. So
yeah.
happy to try to spread the good word.
Great. And they can just email you about that.
Yep.
I will post these on my web post about this evening's program, so people can go right to my website and the post about this show, and that information will be there in the link they can just click on.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So thank you so much for coming on this evening. I look forward to having you back on the program, and I look forward to taking another class with you when I'm up that way in the spring.
Yeah, me too. There's lots of other stuff to talk about, and would love to have you in class.